For decades, audiences have made it clear that they like their villains with a good sense of humor. And there's one character that filmmakers keep coming back to who always has a smile on his face.
Come, my comic cohort in crime!
Ha, ha, ooh, hee, ha, ha. And I thought my jokes were bad.
You can call me Joker. And as you can see, I'm a lot happier.
That was Cesar Romero, Heath Ledger, and Jack Nicholson with their takes on The Joker. In 2016, Jared Leto tried his hand at the role, but just 3 years later, DC is hoping that filmgoers are ready for yet another version of the Killer Clown, this time played by Joaquin Phoenix in director Todd Phillips' Joker. The film doesn't come out until tomorrow, but it's already generating a divisive response. While some critics are hailing the film as a dramatic milestone in the superhero film genre, others are wondering whether it lends too much sympathy to its violent main character. Joining me now to weigh in on all this are Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday. Hi, Rafer.
Hi, Tanzina.
And Allison Wilmore, film critic at Vulture and New York Magazine. Allison, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So happy that we're here again. Allison, I mean, I heard this and I said, really? Do we need another Joker movie? Really? We do? Do you think? Where are we?
Well, I don't think we have any choice at that point,
okay.
You know, especially when it comes to any superhero. I think that we are locked in a constant cycle of like watching maybe them trail away and then start over from the beginning.
Got it.
Yeah. But this one is definitely different. It doesn't really tie into a whole larger universe. It's a kind of standalone movie. It attempts to be, if not psychologically realistic, at least psychologically grittier. And it's got a lot of Martin Scorsese references, more than, say, your standard DC references.
Speaking of, what does the origin story look like, Rafer, for the Joker in this film? I mean, kind of off of Allison's point, it's not as connected to other films in the DC universe.
Right. We're no longer in the vat of chemicals origin story that we had in past films gave the Joker his, you know, his strange look and his green hair. You know, he's a real world character, Arthur Fleck. He's got a real name. He's a guy living in sort of, you know, near poverty in Gotham City in the early 80s, which is clearly a stand-in for Manhattan at the time. Very gritty, run-down, you know, rotting city. He lives with his mom, played by Frances Conroy. He's a struggling stand-up comedian and a part-time clown, which is too bad because he seems in the film to inspire loathing and cruelty in pretty much everyone he meets.
Okay. So
he's picked the wrong career. Mm. And this kind of resentment, and clearly also a mental illness that he has, and also a medical condition, which causes him to laugh uncontrollably at inappropriate moments. All of this makes him a very poor choice for a comedian, and he takes this resentment out eventually on society.
So at the top of the show, Allison, we heard Cesar Romero's version of the Joker, Heath Ledger's version, Jack Nicholson's version. We have Joaquin Phoenix stepping into the role now. What's your assessment of his performance?
Well, you know, this character has kind of toggled between being this outrageous character and then being this much darker character, both in the comics and in movies. And I would say that this is probably the darkest version we've gotten, but also I would say the one that, you know, for better and worse, has the most kind of resonances to a particular type of, like, white male rage that I would say we are contending with a lot in the real world these days, in the non-Gotham City world. And I think that the movie, you know, really leans into that in a really committed performance from Joaquin Phoenix that I think is intended to and certainly will make you feel uneasy watching it just because of what it evokes.
Rafer, how much of that has to do with Todd Phillips' direction here? He wrote and directed the film. He's known for things like the Hangover trilogy. So what was his take on all this?
You know, I think as we've heard from him, he apparently got a little sick of woke culture, quote unquote, and decided to move out of comedies into drama.
That seems to be a trend, by the way. Lots of people getting tired. White guys getting tired of woke culture.
That's
yeah,
right.
Okay.
He decided to move into a drama. I think, as Allison noted, there are a lot of Scorsese references, and I think Phillips had the idea to make the kind of movie that he probably liked from the 70s, these very incisive, sharp, shocking social commentary films. Clockwork Orange is in this movie. Network is in this movie. Taxi Driver, King of Comedy. It's a long list of movies that he's borrowing from here. I think the problem with this movie, to me, is that all the outrage and the cynicism feels very borrowed. It feels a bit like a pose to me, like he wanted to make that kind of movie, but he didn't actually have anything to say underneath it. And I think that's one of the things that people are responding to with this movie when they're calling it irresponsible or dangerous. I think what they're seeing here is just what looks like kind of a one note of violence and self-pity without any kind of underlying real trenchant commentary.
Allison, what was your take on Todd Phillips' comment about woke culture and his critique about leaving comedy because of that?
You know, it's funny because I can't recall a time in which Todd Phillips, who, you know, has made some very successful R-rated, edgy comedies, I don't recall a time in which anyone attempted to cancel him, you know?
Right.
So I don't know, you know, he is speaking at large. I don't know what happened to him in, like, backrooms where he's been pitching projects, but, like, it's a little exasperating for me to hear that, not just because who tends to make that complaint and how little they actually seem to be hurt by people yelling at them on Twitter, but also it's hard for me not to be cynical about it and read a certain amount of strategy into that, because these days that's a kind of dog whistle for a type of audience to be like, you know, the PC police are trying to keep me down, but you should come out and support my project, like my project, which like is bold and like says things people are afraid to say. And I think, you know, I don't think I dislike it as much as Rafer, I think, does. But I also agree, I don't know that it has a lot to actually say.
Off of that point, Rafer, I mean, there's been criticism that the movie is just glorifying the Joker and his violence. What did you think of that critique?
Well, one thing I would say, I do think that Todd Phillips actually did get a lot of flack for the Hangover movies, but sort of post-Hangover in a way. I think people started looking back at it a little bit and criticizing the film for being a glorification of essentially white guys behaving badly and literally getting away with murder, and the
literally.
Women are nowhere to be seen, and everyone thought that was very funny, and so there was this sense that Todd Phillips was making these kinds of movies. And he did War Dogs, which was very similar, a little more realistic and darker, but very similar. And I do think that also plays into the reception that I think this movie has gotten. I feel like people kind of don't trust someone like Todd Phillips to make an incisive point about the Joker. And I think there's a little bit of a suspicion that maybe he identifies too strongly or maybe hasn't thought hard enough about what he's putting up on screen.
Allison, we've got about 10 seconds in the segment. Your thoughts on how well this film is going to do over the weekend? I mean, is it going to attract the typical Joker crowd?
Yeah, I think it'll perform well. I don't think it'll do the numbers that maybe a standard typical superhero movie will, but I think there's a lot of brand recognition there. People will come.
You're not kidding about brand recognition. Allison Wilmore is a film critic at Vulture and New York Magazine, and Rafer Guzman is our film critic here at The Takeaway and at Newsday. Thanks so much to you both.
Thanks, Tansina.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. If you don't already, make sure to follow us on Twitter at The Takeaway. And you can find me at Tanzina Vega. And of course, we're on Facebook and Instagram. Our team includes producers Alexandra Boti, Ethan Oberman, Jose Olivares, Jivika Varma, Rob Gunther, Meg Dalton, Jason Tureski, and Andres O'Hara. Polly Irungu is our digital editor. Our engineers are Vince Fairchild and Claire McKean. Our director and sound designer is Jake Howitt. David Gable is our administrative assistant, and Lita Hollowell is our intern. Deirdre Depke is our executive producer. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you'll join us next time. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.